God.
Good morning to all of you nice listeners who have joined us on this October the 3rd, 2021. My gracious, is it really October?
It's already October. Look out.
Frost is going to get on a pumpkin.
Yeah, buddy, it's already cooling off. It feels good.
It does.
I love the fall.
I do too.
The month of my birth.
Oh, my word.
That makes it important.
What in the thunder are we going to do?
I don't know what we're going to do.
Homemade ice cream and cake.
Something.
Woo! I'm ready. Let's do it.
What about a good grilled steak?
He'll buy us a steak. Yeah, sure he will.
Not for his own birthday.
Why, sure he will. Yeah.
Hey, I started to say I'd buy you some bologna, but I saw in the advertisements in the grocery list that bologna's going $4 a pound.
Oh.
Or more.
Oh, that hurts.
That's going to hurt a lot of us.
Well,
some of our staple meals are formed around bologna.
I know y'all hadn't noticed it, but there's a whole lot of stuff that ain't even in the grocery store no more.
I have noticed that.
That's what concerns me.
I know it.
But anyway, you're
a good farmer. If we can just make it
to summertime, springtime,
come up and live at your house and eat with you.
Keep the electricity on and even eat out of the freezer to. Long we can keep it froze till we get there.
Well, our God is able.
Indeed.
And that fit right in. Man, that must have been Holy Spirit led.
Had to be.
Fit right in with what the lesson is about. Sure of God's love.
We're sure of God's love.
If the turnip greens runs out at the store, God's still going to take care of me.
Do not worry.
God's going to take care of you people that's listening too. If you are Christian. So, sure of God's love. Now, what we're doing, we've been studying now for several weeks and got this lesson and one more on no doubt. And no doubt, first of all, we are sure of forgiveness, sure of relationship, sure of the truth, sure of victory, and today, sure of God's love. Then next week, sure of salvation. Boy, you better make sure you join us next week on that sure of salvation.
Absolutely.
Because you can miss you can miss some turns in the road. You can miss some addresses. But if you miss salvation, friend, you have missed it all.
Yep.
It all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One is indwelling your heart and lives in your heart. So let's tell them, let me first tell them where the scripture comes from. 1 John 4, 7 through 13, and then we're going to skip some verses, and it'll be 19 through 21 to finish it. Now then, we need to have prayer. Brother Pena and I would ask you to please lead us in prayer again.
Thank you always, our Father, for your divine presence with us. And I pray that we'll be in condition, we'll be forgiven, we'll be cleansed, we'll be in your presence, and that you'll hear our prayer and answer it.
Yes, Lord.
We know the needs of our own lives, and we know the needs of many other lives.
Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord.
The COVID is claiming too many lives.
Oh, God.
And I pray, our Father, that somehow, some way, you'll either give scientists the wisdom to develop a vaccine that is sure and certain, or else you will intervene as you are God to help us in this time of need.
Yes, Lord.
We see the number of deaths.
Yes,
we see the number of sickness.
Yes.
We see the number of failing families.
Oh, God.
We see the number of all of those that are influenced and affected by it.
Yes.
And we commend them to you.
Yes, Lord.
And ask that you would intervene as the great physician.
Yes, God.
Glorify yourself as we share today in the love of God and the grace and mercy of God.
Yes.
That is offered to all mankind.
Yes.
Through his precious Son and that Son's sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. Yeah. Glorify yourself to us, and then our Father, give us wisdom to say something that will lodge in the hearts and lives of the unbelieving listener,
right,
that he might be or she might be saved by yes, grace
yes,
and cleansed through the shed blood of Christ.
Yes, God.
We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's a powerful prayer, Brother Pinion. Powerful prayer. But we better tell them who we are, too. I got the cart a little ahead of the horse.
Well, that's all right. I'm Mike Hall. I'm pastor at New Salem Baptist Church in Reform.
I'm Brandon Pinion. I'm pastor of Moore Bridge Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa County. And I enjoy being with you guys.
And you do a good Me job, too. Both you guys do. I'm proud to be associated with you. And I'm Herschel Owen. Been a pastor for 59 years. And a preacher in the 60s, 60 year plus. So we've had a good time, and if we added all our years together, we'd almost go back to Moses.
Uh-oh.
But anyhow, it's been a good walk. We've walked together with the Lord. We've walked together as pastor friends for many years, and you don't want to hear all that, but it's true anyhow. I got it off my chest. Okay. Now then, sure of God's love. God's love is seen when we love others as he's loved us. Last week we talked about the Pharisees who really wanted to trick Jesus, said to him, tell us which one of the Ten Commandments. Well, they actually had a lot more because they put, if you chew chewing gum on the wrong side of your mouth, that would be a violation of the commandment.
Oh, yeah.
All kind of foolish stuff added to the Lord's Ten Commandments.
We had been in Israel a few years ago, and I was amazed that these guys, their sideburns hung down to their waist. Now, the rest of their hair was cut, you know.
My grief.
But their sideburns hung down. I asked our guide, I said, why in the world they got these long sideburns? He says, well, the Bible said, you know, cut your hair, but it didn't say anything about your sideburns, and they was afraid they'd mess up if they cut them, so they just let them grow.
So you see all that kind of foolishness, but now, when Jesus heard, he knew exactly what was on their mind. They wanted to trick him, because if he picked one of the commandments ahead of the others,
right,
then he would have been wrong in doing so. So he didn't. He said, I'll just tell you how it is. The commandments are summed up and completed and fulfilled in loving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and body. I think strength may have been in there too. But in any event, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. If you love God like you ought to, and you love your neighbor as you ought to, then others will notice our life to be different. A fellow came to see me this morning and told me, said, you know, I've watched your life a long time, and I just want you to know I see Jesus in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. Those were some of the sweetest words I've ever heard in my whole life.
Of course.
And it's a great young guy that said it. But how do you spend your time? Does your use of time show that other people that you love them? If I get out, Mike, on Sunday and do my grass cutting, I was off Saturday, but hell, I had to go fishing.
Yeah, yeah. Sunday was the only day I had.
Yeah, so Sunday I couldn't cut it any day but Sunday. Would that tell my neighbors that I love the Lord?
No, it does not. It tells them that your priorities is way out of focus.
It sure does. It tells us to obey the Sabbath day and respect it and reverence the Sabbath day. And we're not doing that. So be careful how you spend your time, because it shows your love, how you love God. What does the influence, does the anger and hateful talk and action have on our peace and confidence in God for us? If you want to, listen to some radio program or television program, all they're going to report on is hate and violence and murder and rape and killing. And I've got so that I just about despise the so-called news.
I do too. I just about don't watch it anymore. I watch the weather, and that's about it. Sports a little bit, but I just can't stand it.
Those guys have an agenda, or ladies have an agenda, and everything's going to be twisted around to meet their agenda.
Yep.
So but that's what you hear on the news. And so, you know, do you let that anger and hateful talk and action have an influence on your life and rob you of your love and your confidence for God? I hope not. I hope you don't let it influence your love and the peace you ought to have and your confidence that God loves you too. Now, most of our schedules have been rearranged. The kids can't go to school part of the time. They have to stay home. Some people's jobs, they have to stay home. And we find ourselves spending more and more time on our phones. Boy, that's something. I'm scared to walk down the sidewalk. Everybody I meet has got that phone in both hands and clicking it away. They're going to run over me.
Active thumbs.
That's right. So, so we depend on our phones, our television, other electronic devices.
I took my wife out to eat the other night, and there was two guys, two businessmen, you know, both of them had on suits and ties, you know, and they were sitting at a table just where I could see them, and they had a hard time even getting their order placed. One sitting on one side of the table with his head in his phone, and the other one doing the same, just sitting there doodling on the phone with their thumbs, and the waitress literally had to say, hey, are y'all ready to order, you know?
Well, let me give you another example, Mike. On dialysis, I have dialysis from about 5:30 until 9 o'clock.
Right.
And it's 3.5 hours.
Right.
And there's a guy straight across the aisle from me.
Yeah.
It's all in an open area. You can see part of the group. There's about 6 or 7 chairs in my section.
Uh-huh.
And there's a guy that sits right across from me. And for 3.5 to 4 hours, he's got that cell phone right in front of him.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he's looking at. I don't know what he's saying. He don't say much of anything. But he is engaged in that. And I noticed last trip there, he was so engaged in it that he would not take his eyes off of it while they were taking the needles out of his arm and get him organized to leave.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, man alive, this is something else.
Yeah.
But it's the truth practically our whole younger generation.
Well, it's the way Satan has just literally distracted and taken over.
That's right.
The minds of much of the young people.
Texting.
Even down to children.
Yeah.
I see children that are even preschoolers. They're just all the time, nothing but on that old phone, messing with that phone.
I sit out here when weather's fit on the front of the house, on the little porch.
Yeah.
And it is amazing to me, after so many warnings.
Yeah.
And after so many accidents. And I'm sure some of them were deaf were involved. Mm-hmm.
Sure, absolutely.
That I see people coming down through here, 30 miles an hour, texting.
Right there on that phone, doodling on the phone.
I do not understand two things about that. First of all, I don't know why you want to kill yourself like that. Secondly, I don't know why people don't want to talk to me. If I want to ask Mike, you got any turnip greens? It's so much easier for me to dial him. He say hello, and I say, Mike, you got any turnip greens? No, the buzzards got them.
Buzzards? Well, that's some ugly turnip green.
Oh, I hope none of them ladies that got your pepper hears me calling them a buzzard.
Oh.
I'd be in bad trouble. But why don't people want to talk to me?
Well, you know, texting's the easy way, and you don't have to engage in a conversation. You can just text
your message and have it over with.
And they can send you one back. That's that. But
that is the work, though.
I'm not saying
it's all bad. But if you let it obsess you and control you, you lose sight of love for people, even communication skills with people, and you even, in the midst of all of that and all this other stuff going on, I wonder how many people are wondering where God is in all this.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about love for one another. And I've got a theory that I don't know, it may be right, it may not, but when I was growing up in our community, we needed neighbors.
Yes.
We needed our neighbors. We needed to help one another. We had to, you know, come hog killing day, you know, when we were going to kill hog, we let the neighbors know it. They all gathered in, and then they'd let us know when their hog killing day was, and we'd go there, or time to make molasses or whatever.
What did you cook on hog killing?
Oh, she would cook fresh hog meat. That's all we cooked. We fried that tenderloin, and for supper, we'd have some fresh sausage, man.
Biscuit, hot biscuit.
Man, yeah, you got that right in gravy, too. But, you know, you didn't dare offend your neighbor any more than you could help, because you know if you get sick or they get sick, we got to depend on one another. We had to have one. And it's not that way anymore. It's not that way.
People have declared independence from God and the neighbor.
And each other. And that's what really is the connection that we see in John here, where he's telling us to not only love one another, but not only to love God, but to love God and one another. And one is the same as so far as the way we should love each other unconditionally. And I know sometimes your neighbors is hard to love. I understand that. Been there and done that. But I love them anyway. I may not like them, but I love them anyhow.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, you don't have to love or even like their ways and the things they do or don't do, but you got to love them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You got to love them. But in the midst of all of this that's going on, we've lost sight of loving people, depending on people, needing people, and we just have lost sight of even spread over into God. We
absolutely
don't love God. We don't need him.
Well, if they don't have the Lord, they don't have any motivation to love.
That's true.
And love has got to be motivated by something.
Yes.
And if God's love is not a sufficient motivator, and I submit this, that an overwhelming majority of our population now has very little, if any, love for God.
Right.
And everything they do is practically to self, for self, and for family, and for everything else. Instead of us as Christians following not only the grace and mercy of God in our lives, but also going after those out there.
Amen.
See, we're going to grow as Christians.
Right.
By showing his love to somebody else that don't know his love.
Yes.
And that's what we ought to be doing now.
It is. Without a doubt.
Well, a song that we used to sing, now I'm not going to sing it, so don't y'all get so nervous. It said, love somebody through me, talking about God.
Yeah.
Love somebody through me. God is love sometimes will never be seen unless it's shown through us.
That's true. And so true.
God's hands are our hands. God's feet are our feet.
That's right.
Well, Mike knows more about this than me. I don't remember all of it right now. But loving God, loving one another.
Yeah.
That's an old Bill Gaither.
It is.
Type song. And it really, every time I hear it, it just sort of grips my heart,
right,
that of the divine truth,
right,
and the great wealth that is there if we'll just follow through on it.
Absolutely. There's a song out there in the Southern Gospel realm. It's called Love the Ones God Has Given You, because one day he's going to want them back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
man,
a good,
that
it's
ought
really,
to make you think.
That's true.
It's a good song, and
yeah,
a powerful song.
Well, where is, you know, I can't see love like I can see a sweet potato.
No.
I must see it in action.
Absolutely.
God's love. Action. I have never physically seen God.
Love is like the wind. You know, you can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. You look out that window over there, and I see that tree just moving like everything.
Yes, sir.
I can't see the wind that moves it, but I can see the tree doing the moving.
And if you got out there, your hair would blow.
Yes, it would. And it's the same way with love. You can't see love until you see what it does.
Yeah.
You see the action, and then you see the response. And that's the way you know love. And that's what God's teaching us in our scripture today.
Well, what is God's source? I mean, what is the source of love according to that 7A there, or B?
Well, we hadn't read the scripture yet.
Oh, well, no wonder I...
See there, you fixing to ask us something. We ain't even read the scripture. How are we going to know? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
So, now...
Now you've asked your
question.
Hey. Love is of God.
So,
what is the source of love? God. Now, let me make a statement, see if y'all agree. God is love. Y'all agree with that?
I agree with that.
Love is God.
No, I don't agree
with
that.
Oh, you don't agree with that? I don't either, but there's a lot of folks who would. A lot of folks say, oh, yes, oh, love is
love
God.
Love can come in all kind of different manners and factions and purposes and motivations.
That's right.
And it would not be of God.
I heard
God.
Adrian Rogers say one time that he literally said, what God has formed, Satan has deformed.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, when you talk about love, they start thinking about sex and erotic things and so forth. Listen, this
our,
is genuine.
Our food.
Our
I
food.
Love
yeah.
Ice
oh,
cream.
Yeah. I love nutter pudding. But, you know, that's what God is talking about is a genuine, from the heart, love for one another in an unconditional way, which is the most difficult sometime of all. But it's the kind of love that God showed up. That's what John is saying. We're to love one another with the kind of love that God loved us with.
And the sureness of that, that it reveals, you said it's unconditional, but the sureness that love reveals, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, let me ask a question, Brother Pinion. Can people that don't love God, can they truly love at all others according to the scripture?
No, I don't think they can. But the direction and depth of love is only going to come when our relationship is with God like it should be. And then we'll know love. We can understand better love, and we can also share love that we have from God.
Absolutely.
So that's I agree.
Well, John talking about love, and he's saying to him, as I see this scripture, that love for one another is evidence of our love for God.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's saying if we love God, then we love others. And he said the evidence that we do love God is because we do love others.
That's
he
right.
That doesn't love others don't know God, obviously, because God loved me before I ever loved him.
Yes.
Well, what'll happen, Mike, in a lot of cases, with these folks that don't know the Lord,
right,
that have never been saved by His grace, they will love things.
Right.
In their mind, it's love.
Right.
But it's not real love.
No.
Absolutely.
It cannot be. It can be desire.
Yeah.
It can be a whole wealth of other adjectives to help describe their emotion as related to whatever that object is.
Right.
But it's not really love.
And I think you hit it on the head when you use the word emotion. A lot of people use emotion as a substitute for, or use this love as a substitute for emotion.
Well, and I think we've got a world today that's got a whole lot more lust than mm-hmm. it does love.
Well, mm-hmm. I can sit out here on my front porch. I mentioned it a while ago. I can sit out here on my front porch, and I can see those GMCs, $165,000
right.
GMCs that go by, and say, and a lot of folks say, "Man, I love I had one of them."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See,
and one of our dear pastor friends that I know has got a nice.
It's just an old Chevrolet.
Well, the best God, I couldn't even get in. I don't even want his.
Well,
because I can't get in it.
You'd have to have an elevator.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But it's good. I like to be around wealthy people myself.
Well, I do too, and that's the reason I hang out with you and Brenna. But the truth of it is,
you set that up for him perfectly.
Our world is so full of lust, and that I get sick of it. I get sick of it because on television, you know, you see all this stuff about stop the violence, mm-hmm. you know, get rid of racism. And
mm-hmm.
How do you do that when you fall in love with God?
Christ,
all
Christ,
that stuff
Christ,
is gone.
Christ.
It's right. gone.
Yeah.
When you love the Lord, you're going to love others.
You are.
Whether they love you or not, mm-hmm. you're going to love them anyway.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's hard for some people to understand. I've got some folks in my church that oftentimes I'll use that statement, you know, that you got to love them. Even if you don't like them, and they'll come back. Preacher, you just can't. Yes, I can do that.
Yes.
I do that. The world is full of people that I just do not like. But I love them.
You've got to.
I love them because God loves them.
Yeah.
And if God loves them, I love them. And as long as God gives them breath, it's proof to me that He must love them.
Well, there's a lot of folks out there, Mike, that when I'm with them,
yeah.
I want to get me some gone.
Yeah, me too. And I will do
leave.
That.
I won't get out of their presence because I don't enjoy being around them.
Yeah,
because they're belly aching or growling or doing a lot of other things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to be a part of it. And so I just want to be gone.
But you know, there's church folks. So listen to me. There's church folks. They go to church just so they can go home and talk bad about other church folks.
Mm-hmm.
They can have a preacher for dinner.
They can fry the preacher and serve him up for the main course. Listen, that is absolute stupidity. If you believe that you love God, but yet you don't love your, especially the brethren.
Yeah.
John said we know we love God because we love the brethren.
Right.
And if you can't love the brethren in the church, how in the world are you going to ever love the rest of the world?
Well, how you gonna love? How you gonna deal with it when you get to heaven? You gotta live with
that's
them.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Absolutely.
Heaven ain't gonna be a place where you hate people.
No, not at all, not at all. And I do know some folks that anytime, like you said, when I'm in their presence, it's all the time wanting to talk bad about somebody,
mm-hmm.
come up with some old mess about somebody. Listen. I'd talk to him about the weather, talk to him about the fishing, talk to him about the Lord would be my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I get so frustrated with that. And that's the reason we've got so much hatred and so much division in America today, because we don't have the love of God.
And if you don't have love for one another, according to verse 8, what sad truth is taught there? But then you look at verse 8 there.
I'm turning back.
Okay, I'm sorry.
He that loveth not what?
Not knoweth not God.
That's it. For God is love. That's it.
So you want to know whether you love God or not? Do you love people? Do you love others?
That's it.
If you don't love others, don't you come telling me how much you love God. I love the Lord, Brother Herschel. Well, what about your neighbor that you just been trying to talk about? No, that don't fit. I've got to practice because preachers get talked about more than probably than anybody else, and especially if they try to preach the truth. And I got a policy. Somebody come to me and say, I don't talk to you about my preacher. I don't listen to their talk about the preacher.
No.
And if it's negative talk about the preacher, I say, you go talk to him.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not going to listen to it.
I'll even go with you.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. We'll go talk to him together.
But you know what? In my 59 years of pastoring, I have never had one yet.
That's what I was going to say. How many of them ever took you up on that offer?
Never.
Not a one.
Never.
I had a lady yesterday that, one day last week, I was getting a haircut, and she came in and literally with pain in her voice and tears in her eyes, she was talking about her son's a pastor. And she was talking about how he was being treated at the church that he's been pastoring for about 10 years. And I told her, I said, that boy need to get him some resumes out, that there's just don't do that, period. Just don't do it. If you feel that God has convicted you to try to get a different pastor at your church, you go to the proper folks and tell them that God laid on your heart that pastor needs to go. Now, if he's done something wrong, you go to him.
Yes, sir.
But if you feel that God's laid it on your heart that the church needs a different pastor, go talk to them, whoever, the deacons or the pulpit committee or whoever, the personnel committee, whoever it is. But don't just go around all over the community just lambasting and talking ugly about anybody, whether it's your pastor or whether it's your deacon or whether it's somebody that used to be your best friend. Just don't do it. Fall in love with them and try to help them. And if you can't help them, pray for them.
Well, you can be a friend to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somehow or other.
And God will open that door, Brandon. I've seen it so many times in my own life. Something will happen, and I'll think, what can I do? And God will open that door. He'll bring something to pass where I'll have the opportunity to serve them or do something for them or love them, in some way. And He'll do that. He'll give you that opportunity where you can show his love to them, that even if they don't like you, they'll have to let you do something for them. Then if they choose not to, that's okay. It's still okay. Go on about your business. Don't go telling the world I've done so much for them. That ain't the world's business. That's between you and God.
How can you recognize God's love according to verse 9.
Well, verse 9, like so much other what John says in this whole book of 1 John, it says, God proved his love for us.
Right.
Because when we were still sinners, when we were still in sin, when we were still disobeying him, God still allowed his own son to die on that cross.
Yeah.
Still allowed him to become that sacrifice, his perfect only begotten sons, to the point where God had to turn his own back on him. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that.
I'm ashamed that it was some of my sins that caused him to have to do that.
But he did that in order that he could love me, that I could love him.
Well, he did it that, as he says right here, that we might live through him.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that is troubling me, and I'm sure you, all of us that are really genuinely in love with the Lord, is the fact that we see a population.
Absolutely.
that is so absorbed with having a good time, living it up, and that they're not willing to let to live their life through him.
That's right.
In order to reap the rewards of the glory of God and the heaven that he's prepared for us.
Amen.
You know, because we have gotten this crazy attitude that it's all about me. Mm-hmm. The world didn't start till I was born, and the day I die, it'll come to an end. That's not true. That has nothing to do with anything. The fact that you've lived and died on this earth has... It's this world, the people of this world, and even God. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. It's about the creator of the universe who created us for his own pleasure.
Right.
He didn't say for our pleasure. He said for his pleasure. What in the thunder are we thinking about? Well, we're thinking about ourselves. We think about ourselves. We've gotten so spoiled. I heard Adrian say one time that people can handle tragedy a lot better than they can handle prosperity.
That's true.
And that's a fact. It is a fact. Because in the prosperity we've enjoyed for the last 50, 60, 100 years, we have just absolutely gotten so selfish and so self-centered that we honestly believe it's all about me and my fun and my pleasure. And it's not. It's not. And only when we realize that can we truly be happy? Because you're not happy if you're always trying to get more and take more.
In my life, Mike, I can go back to my younger days before I got saved.
Right.
And I recall having fun.
Oh, yeah.
When I was unsaved.
Sure.
But I was looking over my shoulder.
Absolutely.
The whole time.
Absolutely.
Wondering if the Lord comes, if the Lord called me.
That's right.
What kind of a situation am I going to be in?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take long with that until I found out what it was really like to know the Lord.
That's right. That was the Holy Spirit of God even before you were saved.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Already. Trying to get you to see him.
Exactly.
And come to him. Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with this statement? And I know what people are meaning by it. But somebody will tell me, Brother Herschel, I found the Lord in 1950. I found the Lord.
Oh, no.
What's wrong with that statement?
You wasn't looking for God. God was looking for you.
I see it.
God was looking for you. It's not about finding the Lord.
Lord found us.
The Lord ain't never been lost. I was the one that was lost, and he come found me. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So friend, I know that you're meaning that's when my relationship started.
Sure.
with the Lord, and I surrendered to him, but no, he was looking for us. Squire Parson says, when I could not go to him, he came to me.
Absolutely.
And that's true.
Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was me.
And that was me.
Me too.
All right, let's go to the next section. Now, this section simply dealt with the reality of love and where it came from, the requirements for us to have it, what it shows to the world when we do have it, what it shows to the world when we don't have it. The next part is the recognition of godly love.
In 1 John chapter 4, again, we go to verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit.
With a capital S, Holy Spirit.
Oh, you could spend all day long and you wouldn't get through discussing 11, 12, 13.
Yes, sir, you could. And have you noticed how much time John spends on love on this?
Oh, absolutely.
It's got to be important.
Yes, indeed.
It's got to be critical.
Yep.
If you factor in the audience that he was writing to, and the God he was writing about, he was. That's the reason he spent so much time
it is.
On love.
Yeah.
Because his audience needed love, just as we. And just as our, you know, communities.
That's true.
And just as our nation.
Yep.
Love.
We spend a lot of time.
I'm talking about real godly kind of love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We spend a lot of time quoting John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Now, the question is asked in my mind, at least, how should we respond to God's love?
Well, John said, by loving one another.
Loving each other.
I saw a little phrase in there. He said, no man has seen God at any time.
Right.
And I thought, well, why in the world? That's kind of an odd place to put that statement. But when you think about it, what John's trying to say is, how do we see God? How is somebody going to see God?
Faith.
That's right. They're going to see him because you and I show him through the love for each other. That's because of the faith that we have in him. And because of that, I know I can walk up to the man or woman or whoever it might be that has done me the worst possible things in all of this world and genuinely tell them I love you anyway. You know, because that's the love that God showed me. If I don't have that kind of love, then how am I ever going to show them God? If I go up to them and tell them how much I hate them and how bad they are and all of that good stuff, I hadn't shown them God's love.
No.
Not by any means.
And you'll never be an effective witness to anybody. You say, well, I got to tell them about Jesus. No need to until you show them, first of all, your love for other people.
That's right.
Because if they don't see love for other people in you, they're never going to see Jesus.
And in this age that we live in nowadays, when I was a young preacher, we had visitation at the church. We'd go visit folks, and, you know, we'd meet on Tuesday night. And we'd go knock on doors. We'd just drop in and say, hey, just wanted you to know God loves you and we love you. And you need to come to church. And they'd say, yeah, we do. I know we need to come to church. You go knock on that same door today and say, you need to come to church. And you know what they'll say? Why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I mean, and the reason is that we just, I saw the other day on the news where Alabama, for the first time in history, has got more deaths than it had births in the year 2020. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I'm thinking, and you know, we've got more hatred in the world now than we have love. It's the truth. We've taught ourselves, we teach in our children to hate. When we talk about the church folks, when we talk about the government, when we talk about the president, when we talk ugly about other people, we're teaching our children to hate. And we've done it to the point now to where their cartoons are about hate and killing, the games they play on their little telephones and their iPads or whatever they got. It's all about killing and destroying
shooting
and blowing
and
up.
Shooting and dying.
So what do you expect them to do? You expect them to do the same thing that we're teaching them to do.
Right.
And then we go toting signs, you know, we need to stop the violence. We need Jesus. That's the only way we're ever going to stop the violence.
Amen.
And when we fall in love with God, and fall in love with each other, then all this other mess would come to an end.
Absolutely. Yeah, if I loved you like I ought to, I would do nothing in the world to harm you and to cause you any hurt or loss.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But we teach our children that we descended from a monkey, and then they go out and act like monkeys, and we wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say that we're you know, our kids are going to the dogs. No, they're not. They're being led to the dogs by their parents.
That's right.
It's time we understand that. It's time we got our Bible out and said, hey, come here, baby, let me tell you something about God and about God's love. And then show that. Don't just say it, show it. That's what John said. No man's seen God at any time. No, we haven't seen the face of God in a physical way. But the way we do see God is we see God when we love one another. When we see that love shown toward another, when we see folks that are handing out meals in Louisiana and Texas, and when we see people that are loving each other and helping each other through the hard times of life, that's when we see God. That's when we see God.
But you know what's so sad? And I guarantee you, we're talking to some right now. Even families, I'm talking about mothers and fathers and children. What can a child expect when he's slapped around and beat around and then told, go get your Sunday shoes on, we're going to church. Now all the way up to the church house, they fussing the mama and daddy is and hollering at the kids and turning around slapping them.
Right.
And going to church to learn what?
Exactly.
And then go into church and act like a saint.
Yeah. Try to convince everybody in church how good they are.
Same guy that was coming down the hall, where is my other sock?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Our on the way to church, you spent too much money at the grocery store yesterday. Listen, I ain't giving you no more money. And then, by the way, you didn't press my shirt like it ought to be. By the way, I don't like turnip greens anyhow, and you cooked them this morning.
And
all of that going on, all the way to the church house. And then you get to the church, and he cuts that off, or she cuts that off, and goes in grinning like a Cheshire cat. And the kids have heard what they've seen. They've seen the real us.
Yeah.
On the way to the church house.
True.
And then how do you expect them to want to know anything about
they
that? Don't,
why would they want anything like that?
Well, John hits that on 13 when he says, "Hereby know that we know him, or that he that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit." You know, I'm gonna say that point blank, true without any equivocation. If you can act that way, if you can live like Christ don't exist, and your conscience is not eating you up, and the Holy Spirit is not taking you to the woodshed, you're as lost as a ball in high weeds.
That's right.
And you just as well get prepared, because when you draw your last breath, you're going to hell, and you're going to spend eternity there damned forever.
Amen.
Separated from God, you
are
dead.
That's what the book
says. That's exactly
right. That's not what Mike Hall or Brandon Pinion or Herschel Lord.
Absolutely.
That's what the book says.
Absolutely. And that's why people need to understand. John's saying it in a loving way, and I do too. But you have to look inside. If you can live like hell, then that's where you're, and not be convicted, then that's where you're on your way to.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. And you need to get that down and get it straight. And one of the greatest evidences of it all is, do you love others?
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit's prompting will be to remind us of that when we act in an ungodly manner with our love for the neighbor or for the kids or with our husband or wife. The Holy Spirit will tell us that. And then if we just run right on over him and do nothing to change it whatsoever, the Holy Spirit also will tell you when you're lost. Somebody, that's my opinion, tell us about, because we've got, I guarantee you, a high number of people listening to us right now that do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And they know something's wrong with their life. They thought it was the gout or some other problem. But it really, the truth is, it's the fact that they don't know the Lord, and they're lost, and they're convicted about it. Holy Spirit's trying to lead them to him. What must they do, Brother Pinion?
Well, first of all, Herschel, they've got to realize that there is a division between them and God.
Right.
And that division is caused by sin.
Right.
When we sin and do not trust Jesus Christ, that division gets wider and wider and wider. And the older one becomes, the harder it is statistically for them to make that transition to trust God, to turn their lives over to Jesus Christ, to repent of their sin, and to cry out to him for mercy.
Amen.
But that's what they've got to do. They've got to recognize that I am a sinner and that I cannot change that within myself. And also, that I can't go back and do anything about those sins. But I have an advocate, which is Jesus Christ, that does stand with me and will forgive me through his shed blood if I will but ask him, and he will do it. And when we do, then find you a good church somewhere.
That's right.
That teaches the Word of God, that preaches the Word of God, and that stands for the Word of God. We got so many churches now that seem to be social clubs more than real genuine Bible-believing churches. And when that occurs, there are individuals that are flocked to it. And when Jesus Christ is the preeminent one, that's the church you ought to be a part of.
But now, Brother Payne, you said that they ought to admit they're sinners, but now I hear somebody say, but look, preacher, I ain't never killed nobody.
Well, there's a lot of sin besides killing.
Okay.
I'm not a bad guy.
Now, that's it. I'm not a bad fella.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wrong besides being a good fella.
Good fella, that's right.
And I believe, Brother Pinion, that I can be saved and not go to church. I believe I can be saved and not even read the Bible.
Well, you can believe that and be wrong if you want to. But we have a lot of folks that are believing just that because of what y'all said a while ago. People that go home and have preacher for lunch. People that go home and talk about Aunt Sue, Uncle John, or Miss June, or whatever. And the kids don't see it. And they don't find the love of God anywhere. And, I mean, in a lot of cases, don't find the love of God even in church.
Yep.
But they certainly need that, and you need to find your church where you can have that.
Yeah, absolutely so. And when you go to church and you feel miserable, it's not because the preacher's wrong all the time. I'm not defending every preacher. There's some bad preachers, bad apples in every barrel.
But there's a right way to handle that too.
Yes, there is. And the wrong way is to talk about him, run him down in front of the kids, in front of the neighbors, in front of anybody, and just run him down. Or the next worst way is just quit. Just quit.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of folks that take that choice too, to just, well, I ain't going no more. Well, that's hurting yourself. I mean, that's just point blank true.
Well, they've got yourself. A real problem.
They have. You got a problem if that's the choice you make. Then something wrong with you. So you need to get rid of that first. Take care of your own business first, and then worry about the rest. You know, God just makes it so clear. It's not hard. It's nothing about it that's hard and difficult to understand. Love God. Love others. And the proof that you love God is because you love others. That's what God's trying to tell us.
Amen.
And if you can't love others, then how in the world are you going to love God?
Well, and it's another thing, Michael, is that when we love God and love one another, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit in our life is going to be abundantly clear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's easy for folks to say, well, you know, I sin because I got that old sin nature. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, you're going to have the saved nature too.
Yeah.
And that saved nature, well, look at what John said over in 1 John. Let's go. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
And John gets real bold right here. He gets real straight.
Mm-hmm.
We love him because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a great statement, and that's the truth. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Wow, John, why don't you say what you really think?
That's kind of plain, isn't it?
If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
All right, and brother.
Amen.
Watch out, John.
He's getting to sound like more like a Baptist preacher.
He's getting down and dirty.
My goodness, somebody go get Jesus.
Somebody went.
We got a problem here.
Went to Peter and talked to him about old John's preaching and writing. But what is the reason for loving others, according to verse 19?
Well,
because God initiated it.
That's right. It came. The love comes from. Genuine love comes from God.
Yeah.
How do I know God loves me? I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm going through terrible troubles. My wife left me, and the children, they're in a mess. I got a kid in jail now, and the daughter won't even talk to me. And my brother, he hates me. How do I know God loves me?
Good gracious. I don't know if you even know or not.
You don't even know if you love me.
I don't even know if you're worth loving, man. No.
With all that problem.
With all that going on.
I think Mike Holmes has learned some lessons from John. He's pretty plain.
Son. Well, you know, we all, ain't none of us worth loving, and that's the truth. But, you know, God loved us anyway.
Yeah.
And that's why I love him so much, is because, you know, I didn't go hunting God because I loved God.
That's right.
God come hunting me because he loved me. And I was a dirty, rotten, filthy, lying, cussing sinner. And yet he loved me anyway and let his son die for me. I've got problems. You got problems. All God's children got problems in this old world today. But you know what? You're drawing breath. God loves you. And because he loves you, he's going to bring you through all that mess. But you got to first start with yourself. Why does them kids not want to have anything to do with you?
Mm-hmm.
Why does your wife, you know, run off with somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever all that was you said. The truth is that it starts with me. And I've got to fall in love with God. And when I do, I'll fall in love with others. And they will become more of a priority than I am for myself. God just makes it real simple. If you say you love God and you don't love others, you're a liar, because it's just not the truth. You can love people even though they don't love you. It ain't easy sometimes. I'll tell you, I've been down that road. But I know that it's the truth. If we love God, we're going to love others. We're going to put others before ourselves. And sometimes that's not easy.
Right.
But I know God loves me because he loved me enough to let his son die for me. And if I'll fall on my face, not just on my knees, if I'll fall on my face in the dirt before him and love him and worship him, I'll guarantee you he's going to take care of me.
Well, what you said sums up God's mercy.
Yeah.
If I didn't know that God loved me for any other reason, If I didn't know and believe the Bible, I would look at my life, I would look at before salvation, after salvation, and I would see the mercy of God. He said, "Well, go give me a breath of air." He could cut my breath off right this minute.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And I would never breathe another breath of air. But because he loves me, he gives me air to breathe. He gives me food to eat. He gives me he gave me a dry place to sleep last night. He gave me the most precious thing that he had, his own son, to die on the cross for me.
Amen.
And nobody in the world ever has died for me except Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus did. And so I'm telling you now, listen, it is required that you love other people. It is required that you prove your love to God by your love for other people. And you can do it. It is not an impossibility. And you must do it, because God is right, even this moment, giving to you mercy. Mercy. So turn your life over to God if you haven't already. You that are Christian, ask God to help you prove your love by loving other people and loving Him.
And I guarantee you that'll bring a peace like nothing else can bring into your life.
So, amen. Thank you for joining us. We love you and we appreciate you.